الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد، dear respected brothers, sisters, listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Once again, I welcome all of you to this daily program on the topic of Islamic manners and etiquettes, based on a book called Min Adab al-Islam in Arabic, authored by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullahu ta'ala. If you remember, dear listeners, that yesterday and for the past 3 days we have been discussing a topic, which is the topic of respecting one's elders, respecting one's senior people, respecting the teachers, respecting one's teachers, and especially respecting the scholars, and respecting people of good, noble qualities, people of generosity, people of wisdom, of piety, etc. And we've been discussing this whole topic in great depth and detail, and the Shaykh, the author of this book, has actually literally dedicated something like 4 or 5 pages to this whole topic and this whole issue of ensuring that we respect people and respect those senior to us. So this was discussed in extreme detail, and this has been discussed in quite length and quite a lot of detail. But now we move on swiftly to the next topic, which is a very important topic. The next topic is actually, and the next adab is actually related to the previous topic. It's specifically about one's parents. We'll read first the text, inshallah, of the book that we have, and then translation, and then I'll explain, inshallah. The Shaykh, the author of this book, Shaykh Abdul Fattah, rahimahullah, he says, رَاعِ الْأَدَبَ مَعَ أَبِيكَ وَأُمِّكَ أَتَمَّ الْمُرَاعَاتِ فَإِنَّهُمَا أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ مِنْكَ بِذَلِكَ جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ من أحق الناس بحسن الصحبة مني؟ قال أمك، ثم أمك، ثم أمك، ثم أبوك، ثم أدناك، أدناك. رواه البخاري ومسلم. He says that give consideration to the respect that your parents deserve. راعي الأدب. Give consideration in terms of respecting your father and your mother, full consideration. أتم المراعات, meaning observe full respect with your mother and your father. Why? Because your mother and your father are the most worthy of the people of this respect from you. In this one line, the author, Sheikh, has, subhanAllah, explained a very important point. And actually one of the most important areas of the Islamic teaching. Brothers and sisters, and especially the younger, my younger friends, and even the ones who are middle-aged, those who have parents, you have to remember that respecting one's parents is considered to be one of the central social obligations of Islam. One of the most important obligations of Sharia, one of the most important and central teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. That's how important it is. Islam has placed a great deal of emphasis on respecting one's parents. And we have many verses, brothers and sisters, we have many verses in the Quran. Like for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one verse, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And your Lord has decreed that you worship none besides Him. And you are good to your parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. This is just one verse. Your Lord has decreed and ordered you and commanded you that worship none except Him. And He has commanded you that you be good to your parents. Now in this verse and some other similar verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions worshipping none except Him alongside, side by side with being good to one's parents. This actually shows the importance of making sure that we are good. Ihsan, the word Allah used is ihsan. It's from the root word husn. Ahsana yuhsinu ihsanan. The one who is the doer of ihsan is called muhsin, or a female muhsina. So Allah is telling us that we have to be muhsinun and we have to be muhsinat with our parents. The parents, our parents deserve our good treatment the most, more than anyone and everyone. Seriously, sometimes we are good with other people outside, but when it comes to our parents, we are not good. So in the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that worshipping Allah is side by side. It's on a level of being good to your parents. And seriously, there is so much importance given. In the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know one of the greatest sins, the kabair. We have major sins and we have minor sins in Islam. And those major sins, one of the major sins is عُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. عُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. عُقُوق means being disrespectful and disobedient to one's parents. There's actually a difference between respect and obedience, which I will inshallah mention further along. I will explain the difference. But here, it's very important that we are good to our parents. The Shaykh here is saying that look, observe full respect with your father and your mother, because they are the most worthy of this from you. Your parents, your father and your mother deserve your respect, your good treatment. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah says in the Quran, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Lower to them. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا, the wing of humility to your parents. Be humble. Be humble. Don't be arrogant. Don't speak against them. Don't raise your voice in against them. It's greatly sinful. Especially my young friends, I'm telling you seriously, you know, the way you treat your parents, your children will treat you. You won't realize this now, right now, but later on in your life, the way you treat your parents, your children will treat you. Seriously. It's a fact that people have experienced in their life. So the Shaykh says here, maintain full adab, full respect with your mother and your father. And they deserve the most from you, from everyone in your life, from your uncles, your aunts, your teachers, your friends, your elders. Who deserves the most in terms of you treating them well? Who deserves the most respect from you? Your parents, your mother and your father. And then the Shaykh explains, he mentions a hadith, he quotes a hadith. He says, a man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, who deserves my good treatment the most, my good behavior the most? Who is the most rightful from the people that deserves my good treatment, my good behavior? From everybody, who deserves, who shall I be the best to? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? Your mother. Then he said, your mother. Then your mother. And then your father. Three times your mother, and then the fourth time your father. And then he said, ثُمَّ أَدْنَاكَ أَدْنَاكَ. And then the closest from your relatives, the closest to your mother and closest to your father, meaning your uncles, your aunts, your grandparents, your siblings, your brothers and your sisters. Hadith recorded by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim. Here the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to this man, and this hadith has come in various different wordings, but the same message has been given, that the mother's right is thrice more, three times more than the right, three times more than the right of the father. Okay? The mother's right is three times more than the right of the father. Why? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this. I mean, some of the scholars have actually explained this, that there are many reasons and wisdoms. Some of the ulama have explained that the wisdom behind this is that a mother goes through three difficulties which the father does not have to go through. You know, before even the father has any role to play or any kind of important responsibility in his children's life, the mother goes through three hardships, three difficult hurdles, three different stages that she has to undergo and exercise sabr and patience. Number one, pregnancy. It's not easy, brothers. You know, ask the sisters, they will understand. Pregnancy is not easy, right? It's not easy. A woman has to go through that hardship of pregnancy. It's not easy. She has to make sure she eats the right food. She has to make sure that she doesn't overwork herself. The mother has to make sure that she's eating on appropriate times because of the nourishment for the child in the stomach. She has to make sure that she doesn't lift heavy things. She has to ensure a lot of things. She has to make sure that she's very careful. And then, you know, not just making sure of all of these things, but the mother has to also undergo difficulty. You know, she'll be vomiting one day, she'll be waking up in the middle of the night, she doesn't feel well, she'll be ill, she'll be poorly, she'll be sick. Okay, she will not be able to eat food for how many days, she'll have some cravings, this, that, and the other. You know, there's a lot of things that happen during the pregnancy. The father is just sitting there, he doesn't really have to do anything. He's just relaxed. He has to take care of his wife, of course, but he's not physically going through any hardship. Number two, labor. Giving birth, that's something that a mother has to undergo, which is just that. A child thinks that my mother had to go through that much difficulty in order to just bring me into this world, should make you feel that I must treat my mother really good, in a good way. Honestly, it's not easy, it's difficult. And number three, breastfeeding. Once you're born, once the child is born, after labor, after the process of childbirth, you come to the stage of breastfeeding. It's not easy to breastfeed as well. So these are three hardships that a mother undergoes before the father's role comes into play. And hence the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this man, and many similar hadiths relate, you know, there are many hadiths which are similar to this particular hadith, that your mother's right comes first, then your mother's right comes second, your mother's right comes third, and then your father's right comes. Three times your mother's right comes before your father's right. So this hadith, subhanallah, you know, it's such an important hadith, brothers and sisters. This shows, and there are many verses, as I said, and many hadiths of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Time does not allow us to go into these hadiths and these various texts, but we know that the respect of one's parents is an absolute, fundamental, central obligation of Sharia, central obligation of Islam. It's very important. Now, there's a couple of things here. Sometimes people think that, look, my parents are not good to me, so why should I be good to them? Okay? Oh, my people use this excuse. Listen, oh brother, sister, my young friend. You know that there's another hadith which Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, relates in his book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. I don't recall the words in Arabic right now. But in that hadith, the message that's been given is that, look, وَإِن ظَلَمَاهُ, the wording Arabic is وَإِن ظَلَمَاهُ, that you must respect your parents, you must be good to them, even if they oppress you, even if they are bad to you. You know what that means? What that means is that the teachings of Islam is such that children have to remember that they are not transacting with their parents. This is not a deal. This is not a business arrangement. This is not a transaction. If you are good to me, I will be good to you. If my mom is good to me, if she treats me well, then I'll be good to my mom. If my dad treats me well, then I'll be good to my dad. If they oppress me, then I am bad and evil and wicked and rude to them. Wicked in the correct sense, not in the slang sense. I will be evil and I will be bad to them. Okay? That kind of understanding, Islam says that's a wrong understanding. Absolutely, completely wrong understanding in Islam. You see, what that hadith is saying, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِنْ ظَلَمَهُ, that remember, this is not a transaction. This is not an arrangement. You are not doing a business deal with your parents. The fact that your father is your father and your mother is your mother, the fact that they are your parents, in itself, is a cause of you respecting your parents. The fact that they were the external cause of you coming into this world, okay? Merely this makes them deserve respect from you. This is what the hadith is saying, brothers and sisters. Now, if they are good to you, that's additional and bonus. But as a child, just because they're your parents, that's it. They just deserve your respect. You have to treat them well. You have to treat them good. Whether they are good to you, whether they are Muslims, whether they are non-Muslims, Allah says in the Quran that وَإِنْ جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If they are mushriks, polytheists, non-Muslims, they even force you to leave Islam. They force you to commit shirk. Still, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. You be good to them in this world. You be good. Whether they are kafir, non-Muslim, whether they are mushrik, whether they are oppressors, whether your mother is an evil, rude woman who's always just putting you down. If she doesn't give you any attention, they don't treat you well, your dad is evil to you, your dad is really bad to you. Regardless of all of this, you as a son, I know it's difficult sometimes, brothers and sisters, okay? But remember, your right, you exercise sabr, patience. I mean, yes, there are rules for the parents. That doesn't mean it's right for the parents to be oppressive, etc., etc. We're just talking about right now from the perspective of the children. When we talk about parents, we'll tell them that, of course, you know, to oppress your children, children have rights as well in Islam. Okay? The problem today is that everybody wants their right today. You know, children want to know what the parents' rights are, and parents want to know what their, you know, children want to know what their rights are, and parents want to know what their rights are. Parents know all the verses in the Quran, like, you know, Allah has decreed that you worship none but Him and be good with your parents. That's sometimes parents, those are the only verses of the Quran that they just actually know. The ones that talk about good treatment. Seriously, some parents, that's the only kind of verses they know. And children just want to know that, yes, you know, you children, young people have rights. The only way we'll have a prosperous society is when we all look at our own responsibilities and look at the rights of others. So we're talking about children here. So the hadith which Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, where he has a few chapters right in the beginning of his book, first few chapters are dedicated to the respect and obedience to one's parents. He says clearly that وَإِنْ ظَلَمَاهُ, that even if your parents are oppressors, you still have to be good to them. Because it's not a transaction. You are not doing a deal with your parents. That if my father, my mother, if they are good to me, then I will be good to them. That's a complete, total, utter wrong understanding. Okay? Islam says you have to be good to them merely because they are your parents. Merely because of the fact that Allah used them as an external cause of you coming into this world. Right? And they brought you into this world. And your mother underwent labor. She went through difficulty and hardship. She breastfed you. She was pregnant with you. Your father played his role as well when you were young. Okay? Just because of the fact that they are your biological parents and they were the external cause of you coming into this world, Islam says you must respect them. You must treat them well. You must be good to them. Absolutely, that there is no if and buts here. This is what Islam says. Brothers and sisters, parents have a great right, a very important right in Islam. Okay? So, keep this in mind. Respecting one's parents is an absolute, fundamental, central obligation of Islam. Okay? But there's one more point I want to mention here. Okay, there's one more point that I want to mention here. There is a difference between respect and obedience. We have one thing that is called ita'ah. Ita'ah means respect. Obedience. Ita'atul walidain, obedience to one's parents. So we have one thing called ita'ah, which is obedience, and we have another thing which is adab, which is ihsan, which is in the Quran, wabil walidain ihsana. Respect, good treatment, good behavior, being good to one's parents. Now we need to understand the difference between these two things, brothers and sisters. We need to distinguish. These two are separate things. Many of us sometimes we forget to understand these two issues and we mix them up. We fail to distinguish. Let's take the first one. Obedience. We'll take the respect that we're talking about. Ihsan and treating parents well. Respect. Respect is something that is absolute. It's a central obligation of Islam. Okay? Which means there are no ifs and buts. There are no concessions. There are no situations of exemptions. There are no like mustathnayat. There are no exceptional situations. It's an absolute mutlaq, fundamental ruling of Islam that you must respect your parents at all given times. As I said clearly, whether they are Muslims, non-Muslims, whether they are good to you, bad to you, in all situations there are no ifs and buts. However, obedience, which is something else, which is ita'ah, obedience to one's parents, listening to what they say, that is, according to Islam, that's not an absolute, mutlaq, fundamental ruling of Islam. It's not an absolute ruling. It's muqayyad. It's restricted. Which means that it depends on the situation. If your parents, for example, order you to leave Islam, of course you can't listen to them. Rather, it's haram to obey them. If they tell you to not offer salah, your parents say, okay, you should not pray. You should not offer your fajr salah. Or your parents, for example, command you to remove your hijab, then it's necessary that you must disobey them. Okay? Sometimes it's necessary to disobey them. Sometimes it's necessary to obey them. Sometimes you have a choice. Sometimes it's recommended to obey them. Sometimes it's recommended to disobey them. So it will depend on each individual case. So obedience to one's parents, brothers and sisters, is not an absolute fundamental ruling of Sharia. It depends on the situation. And we must understand the difference between respect. Respect is at all times. And this is why in the Quran when Allah said, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. If your parents force you that you commit shirk, you leave Islam, you associate partners with Allah, then Allah says, do not listen to them, do not obey your parents. However, in this world, still be good to them. So even if they are telling you to leave Islam, you don't obey them, but you still be good to them. Respect is at all times. Obedience is not at all times. Being good to them is at all times. Listening to them is not at all times. Understand this point clearly. That's why, you know, sometimes, like for example, sometimes you have a right. Your parents are telling you in terms of marriage about something. They're forcing you to marry someone. And they don't have a right. And you don't have to listen to your parents. If you're not happy in Islam, you don't have to listen. But one thing your parents always deserve is respect. If you have to talk to your parents, if you disagree with them, you don't have to always listen to them. But remember, understand and go and speak to somebody, go and speak to a qualified scholar and find out whether it's permissible for you to disobey your parents, because it depends on the situation. So there may be a situation where you don't have to obey your parents, right? But you still have to respect them. Even if they're oppressors, you still have to respect them. It's such a fundamental ruling of Islam, brothers and sisters. It's very important that we understand this ruling of Islam and this ruling of Sharia. So understand the difference between respect and obedience, inshallah ta'ala. I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break and then I'll come back, and then we've got quite a few etiquettes in terms of respect. So here, what are we talking about? Here we are talking about respect. Okay? We are not talking about obedience. We are talking about respecting one's parents, which is an absolute, central, fundamental, central social obligation of Islam, and we must at all times, at all costs, in all situations, come what may, we have to respect our parents, we have to be good to our parents, we have to treat them with honor, with dignity, and we must be good to them, inshallah. I'll take a break now, and then after the break we'll come back for session 2, part 2 of this discussion. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome back, inshallah. We move on quickly. We were talking about the importance of respecting one's parents before the break. And we read from the book that the author is telling us, the Sheikh is telling us, that we must observe full respect for our parents. And the hadith was quoted that the mother's right comes thrice before the right of the father. Then the Sheikh now explains, and I will read the text from the book. He says, وَحَدَّثَ هِشَامُ بْنُ عُرْوَةَ عَنْ أَبِيهِ أَنَّ أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ رَأَى رَجُلًا يَمْشِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَجُلٍ فَقَالَ لَهُ مَا هَذَا مِنْكَ قال أبي قال فلا تمشي بين يديه ولا تجلس حتى يجلس ولا تدعوه باسمه رواه البخاري في الأدب المفرد وعبد الرزاق في مصنفه واللفظ له. In terms of respecting one's parents, one's mother and one's father, the Sheikh is now bringing some evidences, some reports. He says, Hisham bin Urwa relates from his father that Abu Huraira, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the great Sahabi, saw a man walking slightly ahead of another man. He saw two people walking, one was walking in front of the other, ahead of the other. So he said to him, Ma hadha minka, how is this person related to you? Who is this to you? Is he related to you? So he said to the one who was walking slightly ahead, so he said, this is my father. So Abu Huraira, the great Sahabi companion, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, do not walk ahead of him. Do not walk ahead of your father. And do not sit down until he doesn't sit. And don't call him by his name. Recorded by Imam al-Bukhari in his Al-Adab al-Mufrad and Imam Abdul Razzaq in his Musannaf. This hadith. Subhanallah. Abu Huraira, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said three things to him. He said, look, don't walk ahead of your father. That's against the respect. You're not supposed to walk. When you and your father are walking, you should be walking slightly behind him. And we read yesterday or the day before about generally respecting elders. We walk slightly behind them on the right. Don't sit until he sits. You go somewhere, you must not sit till he sits first and then you sit. Okay? And number three, he said, don't call him by his name. Some of us, subhanAllah, it's disrespectful, brothers and sisters, it's disrespectful. You know, your father's name is Abdullah and you say, Abdullah, you know, you don't say Abdullah, you say, Ya Abati, oh my beloved father. You know, oh my beloved father, my mother. You don't call your mom and your dad with their names. So this is against the adab and etiquettes. This is clearly mentioned by Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. These are all the etiquettes. These are the manners that we must have with our parents. And then the Shaykh goes on to say, he says, وَحَكَى إِبْنُ وَهْبٍ أَنَّ الْإِمَامَ عَبْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنِ الْقَاسِمِ الْعُتَقِيِّ الْمِصْرِيِّ تِلْمِيذَ الْإِمَامِ مَالِكِ بْنِ أَنَسِ الْمَوْلُودِ سَنَةَ 132 وَالْمُتَوَفَّى سَنَةَ 191 رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنَّهُ كَانَ يُقْرَأُ عَلَيْهِ الْمُؤَطَّى إِذْ قَامَ قِيَامًا طَوِيلًا ثُمَّ جَلَسَ فَقِيلَ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ فَقَالَ نزلت أمي تسأل حاجة فقامت وقمت لقيامها فلما سعدت جلست. There's this great imam, a student of Imam Malik called Ibn Wahab relates that this imam called Imam Abdurrahman ibn al-Qasim was a student of the great imam, Imam Malik ibn Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So Abdurrahman ibn al-Qasim, he says about his teacher Imam Malik that once we were sitting in the presence of Imam Malik, we were studying, and the great Imam Malik was reading and teaching, the book Al-Mu'atta. Imam Malik has his famous book, Al-Mu'atta. So Mu'atta was being recited by him, and he was teaching it. When suddenly, he stood up for a long time, he went away, and came back and sat down. He stood up and went away, he disappeared for a while. So it was asked that, you know, where did you go, O Imam Malik? So he said, my mother had just passed by. My mother had just come, Nazala, she just came, asking for something. She needed something being done. So I stood up, you know. فَقَامَتْ وَقُمْتُ لِقِيَامِهَا. So I saw my mother, and then she had come for something. And when she stood up, so وَقُمْتُ لِقِيَامِهَا. I stood up out of respect for her. Who's saying this? Imam Malik, subhanallah. He stood up out of respect for his mother. And then when she went, I came back and sat down. This is the respect with your father, your mother, your teachers. Subhanallah. You know, when your father stands up, you stand up. You know, this is respect, brothers and sisters. Subhanallah. Amazing, this book. You know, some people have a problem about, in terms of standing for others. They say it's wrong to stand for others. Actually, you know, I wrote a whole article which is available on my website, www.darulifta.com. A very long detailed article about standing for other people out of respect. And actually, before us, Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, the great scholars, have actually discussed and debated this issue in great depth. The great Shafi'i muhaddith and jurist, Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, actually wrote a whole risala, whole treatise, whole book, in terms of explaining the permissibility of standing up for others out of respect, your parents, your teachers, the shuyukh, the ulama. And he actually mentioned, and this is what I've written in my article, there are two types of evidences. You have certain hadiths, like for example, that indicate that it's not right to stand up for other people out of respect. Okay? Like there's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَمْثُلَ لَهُ الرِّجَالِ قِيَامًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Whoever likes that people stand up for him, then he should make the fire of hell abode for him. But you know, these kind of hadith that indicate that it's not, you know, you shouldn't stand up, there's an explanation for all of them, and I've explained them all in my article. Like this one, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, if somebody likes people to stand up for him, if for example I want and I wish and I desire and I love that people stand up wherever I go, people stand up, then that's wrong on my behalf. But there's no mention that others should not stand up for the person, okay? Whereas we find many hadiths that show that indicate that standing out of respect for people is not just permitted, rather it's recommended. Like once the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to, you know, the Banu Qurayza, when they considered Sa'd ibn Ubada as the Amir, the leader, okay? So when he came, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the tribe, he said, قُومُوا إِلَى سَيِّدِكُمْ. Stand up to your leader, to your master. Stand up to him out of respect. Not to help him or anything, but out of respect. Okay? When Fatima radiallahu anha, subhanallah, you know, When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, both ways, when Fatima radiallahu anha would come to visit the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of love and respect for his daughter, would stand up, hold her hands, kiss her on the forehead, make her sit in his place. And when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go and visit his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha at her house, she would stand up for him. She would hold his hand. She would kiss his forehead, and she would make him sit on his place. This is a hadith mentioned in Abu Dawood. Okay, so there are many hadiths that indicate that we should stand up, and there's nothing wrong if somebody comes, a person who deserves respect, like our parents, our teachers, a sheikh, an alim comes, you walk into the sheikh walks into the room, we should stand up out of respect and out of honor, subhanallah. It's very important, brother. There's nothing wrong whatsoever. So here as well, Imam Malik, رضي الله عنه, his mother came, his mother stood up, so he stood up out of respect. His mother stood up, so he stood up out of respect and saw his mother off until the door. And that's one of the etiquettes as well. You know, when your guest leaves, you go right to the door, you go outside to the door, you go to the car out of honor and respect, inshallah. Then the Shaykh says, وقال التابعي الجليل طاووس بن كيسان إن من السنة أن يوقر أربعة العالم وذو الشيبة والسلطان والوالد وإن من الجفاء أن يدعو الرجل أباه باسمه. The great tabi'i, the student of a sahabi, طاووس بن كيسان, طاووس, the son of Kaysan, says, it's from the sunnah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and ultimately the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's part of sunnah to respect four types of people. Number one, a scholar, a alim, a sheikh, a knowledgeable person. Number two, an elderly person, somebody whose hair has turned grey and white. Number three, a sultan, the caliph or the khalifa or the amir al-mu'mineen, the leader of the Muslims, a just ruler. And number four, your parents. And he says here, father, meaning parents, but he's just mentioned father here. And then he says, and it is rude and it is offensive that a man calls his father by his name. See, we are learning the etiquette, adab, with one's parents. So again, just like the great Sahabi Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu just mentioned previously, that it's not right to call your father with his name, likewise this great Tabi'i Ta'us is saying that it's rude and it's offensive and it's bad manners and it's wrong manners to call your father and address him by his name. So these are etiquettes. Then he says, قال الحافظ الإمام ابن عبد البر رحمه الله تعالى في آخر كتابه الكافي في فقه السادة المالكية وبر الوالدين فرض لازم وهو أمر يسير على من يسره الله له وبرهما خفض الجناح ولين الكلام وأن لا ينظر إليهما إلا بعين المحبة والإجلال ولا يعلو عليهما في مقال إلا أن يريد إسماعهما ويبسط أيديهما في نعمته ولا يستأثر عليهما في مطعمه ولا مشربه. Another Imam, the great Imam Al-Hafiz Ibn Abd al-Barr, رحمه الله, may Allah have mercy on him. This Imam was, you know where he was from? He was from Qurtuba. Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr al-Maliki al-Qurtubi. He was from Qurtuba. If you've been to Spain, alhamdulillah, I was fortunate enough to go to Spain just a couple of months ago. I traveled, I stayed there for about 10 days. Alhamdulillah, you know, it was a very good journey. Especially if you learn your history, I actually took time out to read a whole book before I actually traveled. A month before, traveled, I read the history of Spain, and then I traveled. Alhamdulillah, you know, saw a lot of historical sites and a lot of historical places. Visited, went to Madrid, and then from Madrid we visited Qurtuba. Subhanallah, Imam al-Qurtubi, the great commentator, Mufassir of the Quran, was from there. You know, we have the great Jami' al-Qurtuba there. This great Imam as well, you know, and Spain was called Andalus in those times, Andalusia. Even now, the southern part, they call that southern part Andalusia, but originally, classically, the Arabs used to call that Andalus. Then we have Granada, which was originally Granada, and then I visited Sevilla, which was originally in Arabic Ishbilia, and then we visited Malaga, which is originally in Arabic Malika, and then we visited Almeria, which is originally in Arabic Al-Mirya. And you know, there's so many names like that, you know, like Al, all of them. And then we visited, I went to Gibraltar as well, which belongs to the UK, which was originally Jabal Tariq. Jabal Tariq means the mountain of Tariq, the mountain of Tariq bin Ziyad, which is now called Gibraltar, which belongs to Great Britain. And then you have Algeciras, which is Al-Jazeera Al-Khadra. All these areas of Spain, alhamdulillah. So this great imam was from there as well. And there's been Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi al-Zahiri, Imam al-Qurtubi, Ibn Abd al-Barr, all these great, great classical scholars being from Spain. So Ibn Abd al-Barr, in his book Al-Kafi, he says, which is a book in regards to the fiqh and the rules of the Maliki jurisprudence, he says, let's see what he says. He says, being kind to one's parents is a fard, is an obligation which is necessary. And being kind and being good to one's parents is actually very easy for the one whom Allah makes it easy for. And what does birr mean? You see, birr means righteousness, goodness, kindness, politeness, gentleness. That's what birr means. That's what Allah says in the Quran, you know. Well, birrul walidain, we have this thing, birrul walidain. And in many hadith, birrul walidain. Birr always comes with walidain, with the parents. So the shaykh, the author, is quoting Al-Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr al-Maliki, who is explaining this birr, because Allah tells us, Islam tells us, that we should exercise birr with our parents. So what is birr? So he says, birr is, the meaning of birr in Islam is khafdul janahi, being humble, lowering your wing, okay, which Allah says in the Quran, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ, which means lowering your wing. Now, lowering your wing, means being humble, being gentle, not speaking loudly in their presence. And then it says, وَلِينُ الْكَلَامِ, bir also means being soft in your speech, using a mild, soft tone. So when we talk with our parents, we should not raise our voice. We should talk softly, gently, politely, lower our voices. Be extremely humble and gentle and considerate and calm and composed. And then he says, and we should not, and birr also means that the child, one does not look at one's parents except with absolute love and respect. When you look at them in the eye, look at them with respect and look at them with love. وَلَا يَعْلُوَ عَلَيْهِمَا فِي مَقَالٍ. And when you're talking with them, when you're having a conversation with your parents, make sure that you don't raise your voice over their voice. Except if you want to make them hear something. Like for example, you know, they're old and they can't really hear something properly, then what do? You raise your voice. So unless if you want to make them hear something, then you can speak loudly so they can hear. Because now their hearing ability has decreased. And one should spread out his hands in giving his wealth and spending his wealth for their sake. Especially when they're old. Spend on them as well. That's part of birr. And he should not give them, not give preference to anyone over them in terms of food and drink. So these are the things that you do in terms of when Allah is saying to us that be good to your parents. These are the things that we need to do, which the Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr has just explained. And furthermore, etiquettes. Okay, again, this is all from Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr al-Maliki. وَلَا يَتَقَدَّمُ أَحَدٌ أَبَاهُ إِذَا مَشَى مَعَهُ. A person should not walk ahead of his father when he walks with him. This passed, we just discussed this. Walk behind your father. وَلَا يَتَقَدَّمَهُ فِي الْقَوْلِ فِي مَجْلِسِهِ. وَلَا يَتَقَدَّمَهُ فِي الْقَوْلِ فِي مَجْلِسِهِ. One should not speak in a gathering before one's father. You know, if you're sitting in a gathering and your father's there, out of respect, let him do the talking for you. Let him speak more. Okay, don't speak before him and always, you know, butt in and always interrupt and always get your voice heard over and above his. This is bad manners, bad etiquette, disrespectful. So, وَلَا يَتَقَدَّمُهُ فِي الْقَوْلِ فِي مَجْلِسِهِ فِيمَا يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِ مِنْهُ. In those things where you know that he is more rightful to talk. Okay, somebody asked you a question, for example, then you can speak first. But when he's more rightful to talk, and generally, let your father speak first and speak more than you. Also, وَيَتَوَقَّى سَخَطَهُمَا بِجُهْدِهِ. The child, the son or the daughter, one should try to avoid their displeasure. Trying a lot of really hard in trying to avoid the displeasure. Make sure you don't upset them. That's also part of وَبِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Also part of بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ is to ensure that you don't upset them. يسعى في مسرتهما بمبلغ طاقته. One should try one's utmost best in pleasing them. As much as possible, try your best to please them. وإدخال الفرح عليهما من أفضل أعمال البر. And the Imam says that, and making them happy. إدخال الفرح عليهما, making them happy, is actually one of the greatest acts of birr. When we say we have to do birr al-walidain, being good, so the greatest acts of birr is making them happy. وعليه أن يسرع إجابتهما إذا دعواه أو أحدهما. When both your parents or one of your parents call you, then it's necessary that you hasten, you be swift, you be quick in responding to their call. Okay, responding to the call. When your father says, Abdullah, come here, or your mom says your name and calls you, be quick. Don't say, you know what, yeah, I'm coming, I'm just on the computer, or you know what, I'm just on the phone, I need to do something. Just be quick. Or you can tell her that, mom, if you don't mind, you know, I just need to finish something off. Is it okay? Are you sure? Can I just like come in 5 minutes? And she says, okay. Remember, actually one thing, young people, if you are good, your parents will be good to you as well. You know, if you just talk gently to your parents, seriously, even like certain things like you don't like, for example, they're forcing you to get married to someone. There was this brother, you know what I told him? He said to me that I want to marry someone, like my parents are forcing me to marry someone back home. And I'm so not compatible with that person. That person is so not right for me. And I said, do I have a right to say no? I said, yes, because you don't have to obey your parents all the time. Okay, you have to respect them. But I said, look, make sure that you be so nice, be extra nice, extra gentle, be extra good. Just say, look, you know, in terms of this prospective person that you are telling me to consider for marriage, I've considered it, you know, but seriously, you know, I don't think, you know, I'll be able to live with them. But in other areas, just be so nice and so good and so caring to your parents. Be extra good, okay? And you know what this is called? This is called trench warfare. Trench warfare. You just be so good to them that they actually feel guilty to force you doing something. Seriously, you know, this is like a tax, I'm telling you. And I told him that, and you know what? He phoned me back after a couple of months and he said to me, you know what, Sheikh, it's true. I became so good, and actually my father, you know, thought that this, you know, really, you know, he actually himself saying that we should actually consider, you know, the one, the sister you want to marry, maybe she's the one who's making you good. If you be good, you know, if your mom calls you and say, oh, every time you have to call me and things like that, she's going to lose it, she's going to nag at you, she's going to get angry, and you're going to get, it's just, if you say quickly, mom, you know, please, if you don't mind, you know, I would love to, you know, come and help you or whatever you need to do, but I just have to finish something off. Can you please give me 10 minutes, please? You know, I'll really appreciate it if you don't. So, okay, go on, no problem. Just come back in 10 minutes. Seriously, this is the game. That's how human beings work. Brothers and sisters, that's how human beings work. So here as well, if your parents call you, then hasten, be quick to respond to them. That's what the book is saying. فَإِنْ كَانَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ النَّافِلَةِ خَفَّفَهَا وَتَجَاوَزَ فِيهَا وَأَسْرَعَ إِجَابَتَهُمَا وَلَا يَقُلْ لَهُمَا إِلَّا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And if you are in your optional prayer, then shorten it. Make it brief. You know, even if you're offering your salah, remember, if you're offering fard, then you're not supposed to break it. If you're offering your fard prayer, then you're not supposed to break it if your parents call you, unless you think and you are more or less certain, you most likely think that they need you urgently, like, you know, they've fallen down or something like that. It's very, very urgent. Then you have to break your salah and, you know, go to your, to the help and assistance. But if it's not like that, if it's not an absolute pressing need, then if you're offering fard prayer, then you don't break it. And if you're offering nafil, then what you do is you don't break it, but you just shorten it. You know, just try to finish it as quick as possible. Okay? Shorten it. This is what the Shaykh is saying. Shorten it. Make it brief. And then hasten to respond to the call. وَلَا يَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلْ إِلَّا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And don't say to your parents unless good words. This is taken from the Quran where Allah says, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Say gentle, good, nice words to your parents. وَحَقَّ. And then the Shaykh says, Again, still quoting from Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr. وحق عليهما أن يعيناه على برهما بلين جانبهما وإرفاقه بذات أيديهما فما وصل العباد إلا إلى طاعة الله وأداء فرائضه إلا بعونه لهم على ذلك. And parents, there's just a couple of lines here about the parents. The parents' duty it is, it's actually, and this is very important, parents, please, my dear beloved parents, you know, I'm talking to general parents, you must realize this, because it's not only one way. We always talk about parents' rights, parents' rights, parents' rights, parents' rights, parents' rights, parents' rights. But there are rights of the children too. And I don't have time right now to go into them, but seriously, be a parent. Know your responsibilities. You know, think about the betterment of your children. Sometimes we think it's good, like I was talking about marriage. You know what? I know so many situations, subhanAllah, where children are forced to marry against their wishes, which is wrong in Islam. Every single book of hadith you pick up, every single fiqh book you pick up, whether it's the Shafi'i Madhab, School of Thought, Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali, you know what? You'll find a word which is called La Ijbar. La Ijbar. La Tujbar. A woman or a man, a son or a daughter cannot be forced, cannot be forced into marrying anyone that they don't want to marry. Seriously, forcing is out of the question. It's haram and sinful. You can't force. It's basic. It's not rocket science. It's basic teachings of Sharia and of Islam. And I have so many young people, I've spoken to so many people, you know, they call me on a regular basis, so many emails. SubhanAllah, where parents are being, I know some are genuine, you know, they want good for their children. But some are just being so unreasonable that they have no benefit of the child in mind. They're not looking at Islamic issues, they're not looking at the good character of the person. The only concern they have that they have to be from the same background as they are from, same caste, same ethnicity, same village back home, maybe the same street. Seriously, big problem. You know, these forced marriages, there is no concept of forced marriages in Islam. And I've talked about this in great depth and detail in many places. And seriously, there's no time right now because we need to finish this book. But if you want more details, you know, I've got a talk on my website, which many times has been mentioned on the radio, www.darulifta.com. I have an audio-visual section. I've actually got a talk there. Title: Islam in a Prison of Culture. Islam in a Prison of Culture. And I've talked about forced marriages. And I've done a lot of talks on marriage anyway. There is no place for forced marriages in Islam. But anyway, the point here the Sheikh is making, he says, وَحَقٌ عَلَيْهِمَا أَن يُعِينَاهُ عَلَى بِرِّهِمَا. Now, the parents, it is the parents' duty to make it easy, help their children to be good to them. Right? It's the parents' duty to make it easy that the children can actually do ihsan and birr towards the parents. If the mother and the father is always nagging, always shouting, always, you know, just interested and concerned about their own interests, never be gentle, never be considerate, always just nagging, nagging. Remember, brothers and sisters, things don't happen by nagging. You have to remember that, especially in this day and age. We don't live in a time where nagging helps. You have to use wisdom. You have to be wise. You have to use tact. You have to use hikmah. You know, the way you upbring your children, you have to be the friend. There's a way of doing things. And there are courses out there. Learn. Go and take a course in child management. And we have tarbiyah of, you know, which Islam teaches us the way to do it. Read books on the topic. Okay? So, the Shaykh is saying here that it's the parents' duty that the parents should actually make it easy for the children to be good to them by being kind to them, to be soft to them. Okay? وَإِرْفَاقِهِ بِذَاتِ أَيْدِيهِمَا فَمَا وَصَلَ الْعِبَادُ إِلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَأَدَاءِ فَرَائِضِهِ إِلَّا بِعَوْنِهِ لَهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And a person does not reach, you know, the servants of Allah do not reach to the full obedience to Allah, and they are not able to fulfill the obligations of Allah except by Allah's help for them. What the Shaykh is trying to say here, that you can't obey Allah, you can't be obedient to Allah, and you can't fulfill Allah's obligations unless Allah helps you. Okay? Likewise, the children cannot fulfill their parents' obligations unless the parents make it easy for the children and the parents help them. Okay? So parents need to help the children to be good to them. It's the parents' duty to make it easy for the children to help them. Inshallah. So that's the end of these few etiquettes. And I think we have like 5 minutes. So I'll quickly mention the next point, which is brief. The Sheikh says, إِذَا خَرَجْتَ لِإِسْتَقْبَالِ وَالِدٍ أَوْ قَرِيبٍ أَوْ مُعَظَّمٍ أَوْ صَدِيقٍ مُمَاثِلٍ أَوْ رَفِيقٍ دُونَكَ أَوْ قَدِمْتَ مِنْ سَفَرٍ عَلَيْهِمْ فلاحظ نظافة أطرافك وحسن هيئتك وانتظام مظهرك اللائق بك إن كان هو دونك واللائق به إن كان هو فوقك فإن العين تصر بالطلعة الجميلة المتناسقة والصورة المنسجمة والنظافة المتكاملة. Well, this point is trying to say is that, you know, when you visit someone, when you receive someone, being adorned and being in a nice state. What the Sheikh, the author of this book, Sheikh Abdul Fattah, rahimahullah, trying to explain in this next etiquette, is that when someone comes to visit you, when you go and visit someone, when you go and collect someone, like for example, you go and collect someone at the airport, when you entertain someone, when you go and drop someone off, when you go to the airport to receive someone, when your relatives are coming, when your loved ones are coming, make sure that you look good, adorn yourself. And this is actually, you know, there's a hadith in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad where Imam Al-Bukhari mentions that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Ashabu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا كَانُوا يَتَزَاوَرُونَ تَجَمَّلُوا. When they used to visit one another, they used to actually adorn themselves. We talked about good dress, good appearance right at the beginning, inshallah. So I won't go into the detail of this topic. But this just point, the Shaykh says, when you leave to receive your father, for example, your father's come back from Umrah, you are going to the airport to receive him, or a relative, or a, you know, friend, an equal friend, or somebody who's even below you, or you come from a, you know, or قَدِمْتَ مِنْ سَفَرٍ عَلَيْهِمْ, or you've just come from a journey, try your best that you keep your body parts clean, and your appearance good, and your appearance to be appropriate to you. And you're appropriate to in a situation that how this person is to you, okay? Why? Because the eye likes to see good views, good arranged, well mannered and well arranged, view. The eye likes to see something good, something that's elegant, something that's in order, orderly fashion, and something that's pure and clean. And then the Shaykh says, وَحَذَارِ, beware, make sure, أَن تَتَوَافَ فِي بَعْضِ مَظَاهِرِكَ, that don't be deficient, don't lack in your external appearance. Why? Because فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يَنْقُصُ مِنْ لَذَاذَةِ فَرْحَةِ اللِّقَاءِ, because that will decrease the pleasure of meeting. You know, when somebody's coming after a long journey, your parents are coming back from Umrah or something, your relatives are coming, your Shaykh is coming, your teacher's coming, your beloved one's coming, especially husband-wife relationship, the wife should ensure husband's coming back home after a long journey from another city. Ensure you try your best to adorn yourself. Put an effort. Seriously, don't, you know, the husband comes home and you're still in your kitchen clothes, still smelling of curry. No. And the husband, of course, has to inform beforehand. Likewise, you know, anybody when they're coming from a long journey, the Sheikh is explaining here that make sure you adorn yourself, be in a good state, apply some perfume, because that will enhance and increase that enjoyment of meeting. Whereas if you don't give importance to this, then it will decrease that enjoyment of meeting. That you've met someone, your loved one, after a long time, and you know they're in a dirty state, a filthy state. So this is what the Shaykh is saying. وَيُقَلِّصُ مِنْ إِسْتِفَاءِ الْعَيْنِ حَقَّهَا مِمَّنْ تُحِبُّ وَتُعِزُّ. Same thing, it will decrease from giving the right of the eye, of pleasure, of seeing something that's good. وَإِلَى هَذَا الْمَعْنَى يُرْشِدُ الْهَدْيُ النَّبَوِيُّ الْكَرِيمُ وَقَوْلُ الرَّسُولِ الْأُمِّيِّ الْعَظِيمُ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَامُهُ إِنَّكُمْ قَادِمُونَ عَلَى إِخْوَارِكُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا لِبَاسَكُمْ وَأَصْلِحُوا رِحَالَكُمْ. And this is what the hadith indicates, the hadith of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith came before as well, we talked about it, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are coming to visit your brothers, make sure you put on your nice clothes, fix your saddles, as though حَتَّى تَكُونُوا كَأَنَّكُمْ شَامَةٌ فِي النَّاسِ, as though you are like beauty marks in amongst them people, because Allah does not like dirtiness, etc. فإن الله لا يحب الفحش ولا التفحش رواه أبو داود والإمام أحمد والحاكم كما تقدم. So this hadith passed by. And finally, the sheikh says that, you know, when you go and visit someone, one good etiquette is to give a hadiyah, a gift. When you are going to somebody's house, whether relatives, friends, take something with you. Take a small bottle of perfume with you. Take itar with you. Take a small book with you. Take a, you know, like a subha. You know what a subha is? What we say, tasbih. Something like that. You know, some small gift? It's actually really nice. Remember, not for them, but for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't like go out of your ways and means. You don't have to give something because they give you. Even something small, it's not what you give that matters, it's actually the intention behind it that matters. It's not what you give, the amount that you give that matters, it's the thought that counts. So the Shaykh says here, وَإِذَا كَانَ بِإِمْكَانِكَ إِصْطِحَابُ شَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْهَدِيَّةِ. You know when you go and visit someone's house, or you go and collect someone from the airport or something, if you can take a gift with you, take it. لِلْقَادِمِ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ الْقَادِمِينَ عَلَيْكَ بِمُقَابِلِ هَدِيَّةٍ فَفْعَلْ. If you can do it, do it. فَإِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَتَطَلَّعُ إِلَى الطُّرْفَةِ فِي بَهْجَةِ اللِّقَاءِ. Because the eye aspires to see a novelty when there's a happiness of meeting. You know, when you're meeting someone, you're happy and then you get a gift. Double happiness. وَتَتَوَقَّعُ إِمْتَاعَ النَّفْسِ وَغَمَّرَ الشُّعُورِ بِالسُّرُورِ الظَّاهِرِ وَالْبَاطِنِ. And it's pleasing for you. Your feeling will be overflowed with happiness, which is external, internal. There'll be a lot of happiness. So take. And وَالْهَدِيَّةُ تَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ. A gift will do that. And this is وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْشِدُ قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَهَادَوْ تَحَابُّ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hadith and statement also indicates to this. What did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? Tahadaw tahabbaw. Give gift to one another, exchange gifts, and you will love one another. Rawahu al-Bukhariyu fi al-adab al-mufrad. Wa'urifa min hali salaf annahum kanu yastahibuna ma'ahum hadiyah ila man yaqdamuna alayhi walau udan min arakin. And it's known from the practice of our early scholars and saints and great predecessors, that they would always take with them a gift when they used to visit people or when someone used to come to them, even if it's something really small, a small stick, okay, that they used to take, or like a siwak or a toothstick, inshallah. So this is the final etiquette, that when you go and visit one another, especially when your parents, elderly people, when you go and see an alim, a sheikh, it's a thought, a nice small gift, inshallah. This will create love, harmony, peace, and inshallah, bring a blissful society as a whole. And all the etiquettes that we talked about, our parents, the iftar time, I think, has arrived, inshallah. Just take your timetable. Jazakallah khair for listening, inshallah. I'll be back, not tomorrow, but on Monday. I'm not too sure. I may be back at 6 o'clock, or the normal time, 6:30, may start at 6 o'clock. I am not too sure. I can't say categorically. Jazakallah khair for listening. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.